Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs Podcast, where we bring you all of the hottest Arizona Diamondbacks tea and talk from across the pond here in London. We're proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. And today we're bringing you something that's a little different to our usual kind of episodes. You know, sometimes we talk about breaking news, sometimes we make some predictions, sometimes we do a little bit of a review of some things that might have happened in the week. But realistically, there's not any massive talking points happening this week. Spring training has continued to rumble on as we're recording this on Monday night. The Diamondbacks are about to play two games with split squads against Kansas City. They beat the San Diego Padres last night 5-4. Brandon Fart was absolutely electric through that. I think, you know, he's very rapidly cementing his place as the fifth starter in this rotation. And, you know, other than that, the usual news is that, yeah, we're all expecting Jordan Montgomery to still be traded. Corbin Carroll continues his electric start to spring training, yada, yada, blah, blah. So, you know, it's pretty much business as usual when it comes to the Diamondbacks. And we'll see in just over an hour what goes on in the two games against Kansas City. They start at 8:05 and 8:10. PM UK time, so I will be tuning into that and probably having some particularly grumpy live tweets depending on what happens there. So today we're going to do something different. Right now, as we speak, we are entering, or I say I am entering, the latter rounds of my Fantrax fantasy baseball draft as part of the league, the Grandison Division run in the league, run by the guys over at Batflips and Nerds, who are, you know, if you don't know Batflips and Nerds, if you're a Diamondbacks fan tuning in and you have not heard of these guys, they're like the number one British baseball podcast dudes. They sort of get involved in a lot of the community events we have over here. And yeah, they also administer the biggest fantasy baseball league with lots of British fans. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, who I've drafted, why I've drafted them. And then I'm also going to be enlisting your guys' help in figuring out, well, you know, what the heck I'm going to do next. We've got pretty much the whole starting lineup locked in at this point, but I need my reserves and I need them to be effective. And, you know, now we're getting into, you know, the lower echelons. There are quite a lot of guys who I probably know a little bit less about than, you know, the big names at the top of the order who I've drafted. I'm by no means a general baseball expert, so maybe you guys will be able to help me out in the chat while we record this episode. So yeah, let's get into it. So the first round pick was, you know, I was number 6 out of 12 in this division, and by the time some of the first round picks, you know, Otani went, Judge went, Bobby Witt Jr. went, Soto, Jose Ramirez was picked ahead of me, and then I went with Ketel for the first round pick, obviously. You know, Ketel Marte plays outstanding defense, incredibly productive bat. If he has another year like he did last year, he's going to be getting MVP shouts again. So yeah, you know, that's sort of a no-brainer for me. And then in the first round, Vladdy went, Lindor went, Kyle Tucker went, Gunnar Henderson, Mookie Betts, and then the Batflips and Nerds guys over on their page. They have annoyed me because I was trying to bank on that 1-2 punch of Ketel and then Corbin. They went and got Corbin in the first round, which is really annoying, and I was really hoping I could potentially get both of Ketel and Corbin before things all started to get too hectic and frantic. But no, they went and got Corbin Carroll. So, you know, I left myself thinking, oh, who am I going to get next time round? But, you know, we won't focus too much position-wise, so I let people do their thing. So Yordan Alvarez, Tarik Skubal, Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, Ellie De La Cruz, Paul Skeens all went. So, second round pick, we went for Corbin Burnes, of course. He's going to be probably the Diamondbacks opening day starter. He's going to be the ace in this rotation. And I think it's somewhat somewhat of a no-brainer. He was available. I was like, right, I'll go get him because he will make the difference. I think. I don't think anyone's doubting that as a thing that's going to happen. I've been super excited by how he's managed to, you know, go and find some velocity in spring training. Even he doesn't know sort of where that velocity has come from either. He said he was somewhat surprised that his velocity was up. He's not, you know, working anything different in his mechanics, but you know, when you have like no true fastball, like you throw your cutter as a fastball instead of, you know, just throwing a fastball, you know, as a four seamer or a two seamer or however else you want to call it. I think that leaves the potential to do some things a bit differently, and it's clearly working for Corbin Burnes, and I think that'll be, you know, well suited, especially the way he pitches, to do some things really effectively, especially at Chase Field. The Chase Field that will of course have the roof open a bit more, so traditionally was, you know, maybe swung towards being a bit more of a hitter's park if you look at the park factor over on Statcast, but you know, there's a dead 100 park factor now, Chase Field, so probably not going to be quite as bad as we've seen it be at times for pitchers. So yeah, I think getting in early, getting Corbin Burnes tied down was a good one, and that continues the Diamondbacks renaissance. Of course, I have to, you know, include a little bit of loyalty here. I've always been like this with fantasy sports, with the fantasy Premier League leagues that I'm in. I have, you know, a bunch of players who don't play in the Premier League, but you know, they used to play for my hometown club. So I have to have them, even if they haven't scored a point in, you know, 20 game weeks. You know, gotta have them in there. And I always end up not being as competitive as maybe as I could be because I'm old fashioned. I go for that loyalty, but. We're going to shake things up a bit. I promise I'm not just drafting the whole Diamondbacks team. Like, I will actually try and make some interesting picks where I can try and be somewhat competitive because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here with, you know, people who know probably a little bit more about the game of baseball as a whole than I do. So I'm not trying to compete, but at the same time, I'd like to know how I measure up, where my knowledge fits in. So yeah, we'll see how things go. So things ticked on as they tend to do. So in the rest of the second round, Tatis, Gilbert, Freeman, Churio, and Trey Turner all went, and none of those guys were really on my radar. I think if we'd have gotten to my next pick and Tatis had been still available, he would have been one I would have seriously considered. But I'll tell you who I went for instead in my potential outfielder slot. Let's go in the third round. It was Julio Rodriguez, Corey Seager, Dylan Cease, Matt Olson, Jaron Duran, and then it was my turn. And I was thinking, okay, well, do I go for an outfielder here? I don't have an outfielder yet. Do I pick somebody infield? And I went for, I guess, technically an ex-Diamondback, but also, you know, potential for representing Great Britain and the loyalty there. And, you know, just a guy who, you know, I tend to quite like how they play. I find him really entertaining. So I went for Jazz Chisholm Jr., but I have picked him specifically to play third base because, you know, as much as I love Eugenio Suarez, he doesn't always inspire me with confidence. I really hope for his sake and the Diamondbacks' sake he has a good year, but I wasn't going to go and say, yeah, you know what, Eugenio Suarez is somebody I'm going to bank all of this time and money and energy on. I hope he has a good year. If he does, then, you know, whoever's got him, whoever's drafted him, will do pretty well out of him. I don't think he was taken by a team for actually quite some time. If I'm looking through this chart over here, it took somebody quite a long time for somebody to go and get Eugenio Suarez. I think I can't spot him. It was quite a while. I think he went in. Oh, I've lost him now. Oh well. Yeah, he went in. In the seventh round, which, you know, I was surprised by, if I'm honest, but yeah. So yeah, I went Jazz Chisholm instead, and he's going to be third base. He has the potential to potentially be an outfield option. He qualifies as an outfielder, and potentially might see a bit more game time there than he did last year. Looking at how the Yankees lineup currently looks, but yeah, I went Jazz in the third round because, you know, I think he was also like the second or third most valuable player left overall. at that round of the draft as well. So, you know, I'm trying to give myself a bit of a fighting chance and not just sticking with the old loyalties. Rest of the third round, it went Jackson Merrill, Luis Castillo, Garrett Crochet, Austin Riley, Marcus Semien, Carl Reagans, and that was that. Fourth round, we went to Pete Alonso, Lopez, Machado, Rafi Devers, Logan Webb, Chris Sale, and then fourth round pick for me, it's the milkman, he delivers. It was Zach Gallen, because, you know, this Diamondbacks pitching 1-2 punch is one I rate a lot, I think. You know, if Zach stays healthy, I think he gets to, you know, 15-20 wins. Somehow, I think having Corbin Burnes in the building, I think might even get a bit of improvement out of Zach Gallen. I know that seems a little crazy when we think about how good Zach Gallen has been, and, you know, he has been the Diamondbacks ace for several years now. But, you know, having Corbin Burnes in the building, it's not like there's going to be animosity. There's going to be, I think there's going to be friendly competition and guys accepting that, you know, they have a lot to take from each other and maybe they can all help each other. But at the same time, like, Zach Gallen, it's a point of pride. He's been the opening day starter for years. He's been the ace for several years. So maybe he'll be thinking, yeah, you know what? Actually, I have a point to prove here. I'm going to try and beat this guy because, you know, he's going into his free agency next year, and he's seen how much money Corbin Burnes can make off of, you know, coming fourth in Cy Young voting last year. So maybe Zach Gallen thinks, yeah, if I can get to that kind of level, like, yeah, fourth, fifth in Cy Young voting in the National League, yeah, maybe I can get paid that much. And I think having a side-by-side comparison in the clubhouse, in the building with you, on the road, on the bus, on the plane with you, you see what this guy is like. And, you know, if Corbin Burnes is going to try and establish himself in Arizona long-term, I think Zach Gallen can definitely be looking at that thinking, yeah, well, I can do that. Anything you can do, dot, dot, dot. So, yeah, I think that's a fairly natural no-brainer with a high round pick. And I wanted to also make sure I got that 1-2 punch of Diamondbacks pitching in. And as you will find out later, that was not the last Diamondbacks pitcher we've gone for here. We have gone for a lot of D-backs in this draft. But moving on. Rest of the fourth round was Kyle Schwarber, Blake Snell, Ronald Acuña Jr., Jose Altuve, and Wyatt Langford. So, yeah, there's a couple of guys who, you know, maybe you wouldn't have expected to have been drafted that high. There's a couple of guys who are going to come in the fifth round. You think, wow, they hadn't gone yet? By the fifth round, judging by, like, the amount of money they earn, it's crazy. But, yeah. Fifth round was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Wilson Contreras, Marcel Ozuna, Austin Nola, Emmanuel Clase, and then it was my turn. And I, at this point, I didn't have a huge amount of money to burn. I couldn't go and get, you know, a super, super big earner. So we decided to be sensible. We tried to get our DH, get our utility guy in early. We got Randall Grichuk. You know, Grich is insanely effective for the role he plays. So I think it was somewhat of a no-brainer given the limited budget I had at that particular stage of the draft with, you know, how much I'd splashed to begin with. With Cattell, Corbin, Zach, and Jazz. It's like, yeah, I think we needed to save a little bit of money in that particular round. Randall Grichuk represented a very good opportunity for that. So that's exactly what we did. Grichuk is ranked 70 out of 379 in the outfielder category. But he's probably going to DH for the most part in the Diamondbacks lineups he's a part of. Like, yes, he's probably going to be, you know, the backup outfielder. But, you know, we're Diamondbacks fans. We know how effective he is as the DH. He's going to be in that DH platoon. So I put him in there. Rest of the fifth round was Bregman, DeGrom, Valdez, Albies. Josh Naylor went to Dave over there. So that was potentially one of my other DH options sort of down the drain. But, you know, he wasn't going to be my first choice at first base anyway. And I'll tell you who that was in the next round in a second. And then, yeah, Ian Happ rounded out the fifth round, going to the Batflips and Nerds. Sixth round was Miller, Santander, Westberg, O'Neill Cruz, Mike Trout, and Cody Bellinger before we got to me. And Anthony Santander was a guy who I'd had my eye on, and I was kind of annoyed when I saw that Dave had gotten him out from under my nose as well. And I was also considering, you know, maybe Mike Trout, especially with the move from center fielder to right field. Look, there's a very interesting stat that we talked about in the Corbin Carroll episode a couple of weeks ago where Corbin's bat productivity increased massively when he was moved from center field to right field in the second half of 2023 and into 2024. after he, as he was trying to break his slump, one of the key figures of him being out of that slump was actually, yeah, being moved from center to right field and actually having less overall defense to do. So maybe that would have been something relevant when it came to Mike Trout as well. But Murdaugh got him on the auto draft. Some people have had auto draft on this whole time, so don't blame them. Some people don't have time to spend all day at work checking your phone, see who's going to get drafted next. And then, yeah, Cody Bellinger went to Jonathan just before my pick. But yeah, I said we were going to talk first baseman, and I guess the, you know, nostalgia really is a B word, because I've gone for Paul Goldschmidt at first base. And if you checked the latest Fantrax scout report on him, it's talking about, you know, a 2-for-3 game and a massive club at home run, and that was sort of really all I needed to hear. I know, like, one spring training doesn't mean very much, especially one spring training game on its own doesn't mean very much, but, you know, if Goldie's hitting a bit of a streak of hot form, I want him on my team. He's obviously not going to steal too many bases when he is on base, but if he's hitting for enough power to get some good RBIs in, and in that Yankees lineup, he's going to have, you know, guys with decent speed like Jazz batting leadoff ahead of him. I fancy him actually as a bit of a, like, an outsider superstar pick. And, like, I think it would have been disrespectful if Goldie had, you know, gone any later in terms of the number of rounds before somebody picked him up. So yeah, Paul Goldschmidt, sixth round choice. Rest of the sixth round: Wood, Rooker, Yelich, Devon Williams, and Christian Walker. And Christian Walker going to Christian in the division, Christopher in the division. And yeah, it was another potential person I was considering at first, but, you know, playing first base for the Astros is not the same as playing first base for the Diamondbacks in Chase Field. I'm sure Christian will do very well for himself there, but I you know, Astros, I guess I'm not bitter about the cheating scandal, because it really didn't affect the Diamondbacks or me in the slightest. But when I was first really getting into baseball, the cheating scandal was still very much fresh in people's minds. And I saw a very good PBS documentary about it, and I was like, oh yeah, I've got to hate the Astros now too. And, like, I'm friends with a lot of the guys from the UK Astros fans group. But yeah, we've had some very cool conversations, like, hey, do you ever get that? But, like, our baseball fandom in the UK is not small enough for people to actively root against too many people that often. But yeah, Christian Walker over the Astros doesn't quite have the same vibe to it. So yeah, I've gone ahead and left that alone. Let's get into the second round. We have Ober, Fried, Glasnow, CJ Abrams, Hunter Green, and then my pick. And I went to start actually looking at my outfield a bit, because I hadn't picked an outfielder up until this point. And I went Brenton Doyle from the Colorado Rockies, who was another guy who was, like, fairly high rated compared to the remaining picks that so far at that stage in the draft. And it was between him and getting my shortstop sorted. And I had my eye on Willy Adames. And the moment I picked Brenton Doyle, Jonathan, who picked after me, got Willy Adames. So I was like, yeah, well, if I was only going to get one, I think I made the right choice in going and getting Brenton Doyle. You know, he's, you know, doing okay. In spring training, he's got 10 hits across 34 at-bats, has struck out only 7 times across 11 Cactus League games, and he's going to be Colorado's leadoff hitter this season after Charlie Blackman's retirement. And yeah, last year hit 23 home runs, and, you know, that's only going to go up if he's batting leadoff. The times he's played leadoff, he's hit on average 28% more home runs than when he's been second or third in a batting order. So I think that's going to be a good choice, I think, especially, you know, he's playing Colorado. Home run paradise over there. So yeah, Brenton Doyle was seventh round pick for me. So then, yeah, I said Jonathan got Willy Adames, then it was Wilson Contreras, Adley Rutschman, Shota Imanaga, Teoscar Hernandez, and Isaac Paredes in the seventh round. Eighth round kicked off with Luis Arias, Alec Bohm, Michael King, Vinny Pascantino, Brandon Nimmo, and Edwin Diaz. And then it was my turn, and I was like, right, we need to get the shortstop sorted out. And as much as I love Geraldo Perdomo, he's one of my three favorite players on the Diamondbacks, in terms of the way that these fantasy leagues measures productivity, yeah, great defense is great, but Geraldo doesn't hit for power that often, and hitting for power is more economically beneficial than just, you know, being a good sack bunt or being a good singles, run the base type guy. So I had to think, okay, maybe you go for somebody who'll do a little bit more of everything. So in that case, I chose to focus, shortstops. And my choice at shortstops, for me, it was between Tommy Edman and Dansby Swanson. And with a little help from my mother-in-law, shout out Sylvia, I know you're probably listening to this over in Phoenix, and you're coming over to London soon, but we can talk all about this in person. But yeah, I went Dansby Swanson. Made a pretty cool diving play in the Tokyo series on that unique new camera angle they've got. And so I thought, yeah, well, you know, he's a good player, former, you know, number one pick or whatever it is. So yeah, Dansby Swanson is my shortstop. And, you know, D-backs start the season against the Cubs as well, so it won't be long until I get to see him. So even if, you know, the Diamondbacks have a shocking day and like all of my Diamondbacks players who I've picked do terribly on opening day against the Cubs, at least I know I have some Cubs to prop me up if that's how that series goes. And I've got another one coming up in a minute as well, in the 10th round. But yeah, Dansby Swanson was my 8th round pick. The rest of the 8th round was BB, Michael Harris II, Roky Sasaki, George Kirby. And yeah, surprised Roky Sasaki was undrafted until the 8th round. But, you know, I guess people aren't that hard in on him as you might have thought, because he's been really good through spring training, and he's gonna play the second game in the Tokyo series against the Cubs. So I'm surprised, actually. But, you know, maybe people don't rate him as much as I thought, given all the hype that came in when Roky Sasaki signed earlier this year. But yeah, apparently people don't rate Roky Sasaki as much. I realize this episode is starting to get a bit long already, so I'll skip through what else happened. So we'll go through the rest of my team, because we're getting into like double digits now. So yeah, catcher, I picked Gabby Moreno to play catcher. You know, one of the best, if not the best, defensive catcher in the league, has good productivity. Hit an absolute bomb of a homer the other day. I was sitting there watching that. I was like, oh yeah, go on, Gabby. And you know, it'll be nice to see him fully back fit. I expect him. He's definitely going to lock in a spot as the D-backs everyday catcher fairly easily. I don't think there's any argument about that. Then 10th round pick, Seiya Suzuki. You know, I said I'm kind of in on the Cubs. I like the vibes on the Cubs this year. Seiya Suzuki was the highest rated player left available in the draft at the point during the 10th round, 7th pick. So yeah, thought, you know what, I need another outfielder, I'll go get him. After that, starting to fill up more of the rotation, more pitchers. We had 4 pitchers in a row, 3 in start, 1 in relief. So I went Brandon Vaught, off the back of that amazing game against the Padres, had to go in there. Then we went Jamar in the 12th round, because he was one of the most valuable relief pitchers left at that point as well. I think it was only Lucas Erceg and Tyler Scott who were left in terms of relief pitchers ahead of him. 13th round, we went Ranger Suarez, who's probably going to be the 4th starting pitcher for the Phillies this year. But, you know, he seemed like a good way to save a little bit of money while still getting a guy who's guaranteed to, you know, get, you know, 10, 11 starts at least this year. So, yeah, Ranger Suarez, followed up by Merrill Kelly, Merrill the mainstay. You know, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know I love Merrill Kelly, both because, you know, he's a guy who rebuilt his career in Korea, pitching for the SK Wyverns, now known as the SSG Landers. Shout out to the KBO. But yeah, also because he went to the same high school as my partner. Shout out Desert Ridge. Moving on, I needed to get my other DH locked in. You get 2 utility picks. And looking at it over at the LA Angels, I thought Jorge Soler was kind of a no-brainer. And I was surprised that it took a few people that long to pick up somebody like Jorge Soler, going in the 15th round of this draft. Like, you know, there were several guys I was like, wow, I'm amazed it took that long. Like Bo Bichette only went in the 14th round, Jake Cronenworth 14th round, Pete Crow Armstrong 15th round. So yeah, Jorge Soler was another guy who was left, so I like, right, well, I'll take him. Same goes for the 16th round. You know, my battle for shortstop had been Tommy Edman against Dansby Swanson. Tommy Edman was still available in the 16th round, which I thought was surprising, because he's going to probably be ever present for the Dodgers this year. Hyesung Kim's gone down to AAA to work on his hitting, so Tommy Edman's probably gonna start the year at second, and then probably move out to the outfield when Hyesung Kim comes back up. So yeah, I was surprised he was still available. You know, he was MVP in I don't know if it was the championship series or the... Yeah, I think it was the championship series. Tommy Edman was the MVP. I was frankly very surprised he was still available. Then, yeah, filling out the last available in the outfield slot, I went for Mike Yastrzemski over in San Francisco in the 17th round. You know, Yastrzemski last year, you know, 140 games, 60 runs, 99 hits, and 18 home runs. Pretty solid all around. He's, you know, working on a little bit of a back tightness, but has had a nice spring thus far. He's 6 for 28, 3 homers, 6 RBI, 5 runs scored in 11 games. So, yeah, I liked that. And then we started working on the reserves and the bullpen picks. Right now, AJ Puck is my next pick. And just after I selected AJ Puck, Nolan Arenado was still available. And that I honestly did find very surprising. And as I see this, Stevens just gone for Jordan Lawler. He was another one of the guys I was thinking, yeah, he'd probably be a useful backup guy. But yeah, there's a big name still left, actually, in the unavailable slots. Like Royce Lewis, Yusei Kikuchi, Jackson Holliday, all still available. Potentially, like, Nathan Eovaldi, you know, he's probably going to not be as good as we've seen him in recent years. But yeah, that's some fairly solid names. Josh Jung as well, for Texas Rangers, still available. So yeah, I'm really going to need your guys' help to decide who I'm gonna go for here in terms of what I'm going to do, because, you know, in the last round, some pretty big names are still available, like George Springer went in the last round when I went for AJ Puck. Jordan Lawler, Max Muncy's just gone. Amazed it took that long for somebody to pick up Max Muncy. I'm thinking Byron Buxton is probably a good shout. I don't know about like how fit he's going to be this year, but you know, I was on Twitter today and I was having a bit of banter with the MLB The Show online admin. So here you go, guys. Yeah, you wanted to know an account that talks about MLB The Show. I'm going to talk about MLB The Show. Byron Buxton last year, I think he had 99 rated diamond cards in Diamond Dynasty, and he had a pretty good year, and people were like saying, yeah, Byron Buxton, oh my god, he's amazing, da 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 da. And he's featured on MLB Network like 3 times. Like I was in the US for like a total of like 3 weeks last year, and like every time I turned on MLB Network, somebody was talking about Byron Buxton. So maybe he's my next pick. 218 overall ranking. So yeah, Byron Buxton is still available. And then, you know, I've got a couple of backup options. Like Rake and Jake McCarthy is still available. So I'll be surprised if somebody doesn't pick him up fairly soon in this. But yeah, he represents a pretty good, solid outfield option as well. Let me know on socials or in the comments, depending on where you're listening/watching, who you think I should go for. There's 48 hours left in this draft to pick up all your reserve guys now. So I would love some of your guys' feedback on who you think could be a good backup dark horse available for not as much money as you might think this year, because at the end of the day, you, my viewers, potentially know a lot more about general baseball than I do. We're going to wrap the episode up there. Thank you very much for listening/watching wherever you are. Please remember to go follow the show on socials and on wherever you're watching. We are at TBAX Podcast on most social media platforms and at TBAX over on TikTok, where you can find all of our cool little shorts and stuff. I've got plenty of ideas of where I'm going to be posting some shorts in the next few weeks in terms of funky stuff you can see. And we'd also like to thank the friends of the show over at the Home Run Travel Company. If you're looking to see some baseball in the United States, but you want to not be by yourself, and you know, if you think that 18 glizzies is too much for one person to eat, Home Run Travel Company have got you covered. You can book to go to the West or East Coast this year for a very reasonable amount. It includes flights, accommodation, tickets to the game, and an allowance for some awesome merch, food at the ballpark, etc. And you get to go with an absolutely amazing group of guys. Home Run Travel Co. Go follow them, go book, and go experience some baseball over in the States for yourself. We're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you in the next one.